Hello, Loveland. I'm Mike Meldon, and this is your Loveland Weekly Podcast, brought to you by Gina Dubell Smith, EXP Realty, and Stone Pillar Farm. Once again, I got to talk to my friend Brad from Cleveland to tell him more local lore. This time, I got to tell him the story of Harry Andrews and his Chateau LaRouche, or what we commonly call the Loveland Castle. As always, we dig in and have some fun with this one. I hope you enjoy. Today is Monday, February 5th, 2024. Are you ready for this?
I am.
All right. Well, I have a story for you.
I can't wait.
I have a story about a man that has an IQ of 189. He speaks.
Is that good? I have no idea. Is 189 good? What do we have?
You know what we need? I'm sure 300.
What?
I'm sure we're up there.
Right? Like, I'm thinking 300 or 400.
Right. You know what I need? I need that guy that sits next to us, like, does my fact checking. I think 189 is really good.
Wait. You have one of those guys?
No, I don't. I need to get one.
Not yet.
When we get up there. He spoke 7 languages.
Fluently?
He has 7 doctorates.
What?
He had a photographic memory.
Oh, how hard can it be?
He was proposed for marriage over 50 times.
Women asked him 50 times?
50 different women. Those are the stories that we're going to get into tonight about one man. His name's Harry Andrews. And we're going to get into what makes these stories fun is trying to figure out the truth from the fiction, right, Brad? And we got to figure out, you know, is some of this true? We're going to do what we did with when I told you about Sam a little bit and try to cut through the tall tale. We're going to talk about this guy named Harry Andrews, and I'm not going to tell you what he's known for yet. Because he's got a cool story. Okay. So I'm going to tell you his story. I gave you some facts about him. But he was born in upstate New York. And in 1890, he lived till 1981. He was 90. Yeah, you do the math. I'm not good at that. 91 years old.
By the way, there was less information to know back then when you're talking about IQs.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So how hard was it to have a high IQ?
You're stuck on that, aren't you? Does that make you feel inferior? But you don't even know listen, I bet you're about 400, if that makes you feel better.
Okay.
That makes
love
you
feel it.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. So, moving on. He was born in upstate New York. He went to Colgate. That's a good college, Brad, because he was a smart guy. Ready to go to World War I. He's at a place called Fort Dix in New Jersey. Just keep your mouth shut. And he contracted a deadly cerebrospinal meningitis while he was there. And guess what?
Okay.
Guess what? He died.
What?
He died.
He died?
He died. They took him to the morgue. They put him in the morgue. And what they wanted to do, how do you make a vaccine?
You take the antibodies from the infected.
Right. So what they did was they were taking a scrape of his mouth. No, not swabs. They were taking like scraping the roof of his mouth and he bled. And you know what the doctor said to the other doctor?
What?
Corpses don't bleed, Brad.
What?
Yeah. He's in the morgue. They were going to do this. Boom. Yeah. Mind explosion. Corpses don't bleed. And they were working on something else, these doctors. They were smart guys. They were working on this new
serum.
Yeah, maybe serum. It's adrenaline. And they said, hey, we're working on this thing called adrenaline. Let's try that. Boom. He's alive.
They do that today.
But they do that knowing.
Yeah.
This guy was claimed dead in the morgue. Isn't that crazy? He lived. He was 89 pounds. He was blind. He couldn't move. And Okay, here we go. Here's a good part of the story. Good part of the story is they use his blood and his samples from the antibodies that they got out of him. They use that to create
a vaccine.
It wouldn't be antibodies. Would that be right? Yeah, that's the right word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They created a vaccine that actually saved many, many people at Fort Dix before going into World War I. But it took him several weeks to heal. And during that time, his wife remarried.
It's a couple weeks.
Exactly. That's exactly what I read into it. Like, that's what I've read, like, three or four sources on this. And it all said, unfortunately, his wife thought he was dead and she remarried. It is like, wait a minute. He was only down for like less than a.
It's like I had a cold for a couple weeks. Like,
poor guy. And hey, needless to say, like I said in the beginning, he was proposed to over 50 times. He never got remarried. I think that might have stuck with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. So he went into World War I, where he became some.
Is this afterwards?
This was after. He healed and good enough to go into World War I, but he was more of a pacifist. Actually, I don't think pacifist was the word they wanted to use. He didn't like war. This is kind of a crazy thing too, which is why I think this guy is such an interesting character. He did not like the modern warfare of World War I, which is what I teach in school. It was the first modern war because before that, you know, it was battle lines where you loaded your weapon one by one and you marched towards each other with battle. And this is all different. And so he said this was too much of a distant killing. And he said, he said something like, you know, I like the old wars where you do it face to face, where you got a
sword. It's more intimate.
It's more intimate. I think I'm on the other side of that. I'd rather not be so intimate, but
not look at him. Yeah.
Not look him in the eye.
Like if I'm flying a drone. War,
right. Exactly. So anyways, he decided he did not want to fight. So he became a medic during the war in World War I. And
did he know at this time how smart he was?
Of course. Well, he went to Colgate. Yes, he did know how smart he was. Yes, he did. Because after World War I, he did not have a wife to go home to. So he stayed. And he loved the castles. When he was younger, he would build with the rocks around where he grew up in upstate New York. He would build small, like he explained them as like igloos with the rocks, a little form. So he loved the castles of Europe. And he actually went to Toulouse University in southern France. And he studied medieval architecture. Okay. And this is my first time I'm going to call BS. First time. I believe the languages, seven languages, which is what they, and you don't know who they are yet, but I'm going to get to that, which is who these people that look up to this man today say. And they say seven doctorates, right? There's no record of either one. I think maybe could he dabble in maybe Latin and French and German and all these languages possibly because he's having to study in France, right? Do I bet he's fluent in seven languages? What do you think?
He could be.
Do you think he has seven doctorates? How do you have seven doctorates when you go to two colleges?
Because it was much easier back then to get it.
Wow. You're just all about easier back then, huh? Life was just so easy back then. Hey, you want a doctorate? Brad, you want a doctorate?
$10.
You only know this much, right? Is that your theory of the history of the world?
Okay. So would you say, though, that over the longer time has passed, the more history itself can be a little you don't remember things as well, right? So when people said he knew seven languages, was it really seven? Was it three? Was it four? Did people just say he knew a lot?
Right.
Did he have a couple doctorates? But people were like, oh my God, he had seven.
Right. Well, Brad, you nailed it. I think that's what comes along with these stories. And that's why I'm relaying to you, them to you is we make these people and things and bigger than life, because that's what makes them interesting stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's not, I'm not here to offend anybody or, you know, take away, you know, pull open the curtain on anything here, because this story is fascinating just in the facts. But I think there are some things here that we could probably poke a little bit of holes in. I don't think that, you know, those two things are, as far as what I see, and I'm seeing, you know, I've done a lot of research and online, I don't see the, again, I think you could probably dabble and speak seven languages a little bit, right? But probably not fluent in seven.
Probably not fluent.
Right. And in seven,
but that's the great thing about
I don't believe seven doctorates. I just don't. So no. he got seven doctorate, or he learned how to build castles. Do you any guesses on where I'm going with this, Brad? Anything you know about Loveland that you might want to say, oh, I think I know where you're going with this?
There's the architecture.
No, stop. Never mind. All right. So he moved back to Cincinnati, and I'm not sure exactly why, but he wanted to teach. And he got these jobs as a Sunday school teacher and a Boy Scout leader, right? And one of his things to do, he'd like to go up along the Little Miami River right here in Loveland and take, there's about 12 boys that he'd like to go camping with. Yeah, I see that smirk. We're not going there. We're all thinking it, but we're not going to get into that on this episode. Can we agree with that, Brad?
Yes, sir.
We can agree with that on this episode. That what they would do is they would camp and fish, and they would keep tents there. And they decided, hey, he took these boys from his Boy Scout group and his Sunday school group. He said, you know, our country's going in decay, which, you know, I think we can relate. And he said, we need to bring back chivalry, and we need to bring back the ideals of the olden days, like King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. And so they created something called the Knights of the Golden Trail. K-O G-T. That took me way too long. I was doing that in my head. I was doing math. That's so bad. K-O G-T. And he said, you can be a knight. The only rule is the Golden Trail is the Ten Commandments, right? So these kids, they would go out there and they would fish and camp, and they would keep their tents out there, but tents were getting ratty. And he said, you know, I used to build castles when I was younger. We're not real knights until we have a castle. Any guesses, Brad, or what he's going to do next?
They built one of the castles that are out there. It is the on the trail.
That's dang, you're good. He built what we now call the Loveland Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not.
Okay. So we're going to have to take you.
How big is it?
That's why we're doing this story. But Brad, that is why I choose you. I choose a guy, Brad from Cleveland, because you've never heard of this. That's why.
Never. And this is fascinating.
It is fascinating. Thank you very much for saying that. So what he does from 19. So first of all, he needs land. He needs this land. And one of his knights, their parents bought 2 acres of land along the Little Miami River. Actually, they didn't buy it. Guess what? The Cincinnati Enquirer, the newspaper that we have today, if you bought a year subscription, you got an acre of land in Loveland. And there were a few places where this was going on. One was along the river, and one was a subdivision that we have here. How crazy is that?
You buy a year subscription, it's $8,
right?
And you get an acre of land.
Yep. And this was in the 1920s. Yep. So he told them what he wanted it for. He bought it from them. And they start building this castle. So they broke ground on June 5th, 1929. And they were going to create what they call today Chateau La Ruche. What does chateau mean? Do you know what that means, Brad, in French?
It means building, or it means home.
Castle.
Castle. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It's so Castle La the Ruche. Ruche. R-O-C-H-E. Let's think of what that could mean.
that could mean.
Let me say this. I always thought it was a last name. I've lived here. I've been to this castle many times. I knew it was called Chateau Larouche, and I thought it was just named after a last name. So don't feel bad if you don't get this.
River.
Good guess. Rock. The Castle of Rock. So what he did was they would take these river rocks, and they'd pull them up from the river, and obviously the river would deposit more as it rained and stormed, more rocks come down, and he built this castle by hand. He laid every single stone himself, and he wouldn't let the boys do it. The boys helped with moving the rocks up there, getting them set up, but he wanted to say that he made this thing by hand. Now, ceremoniously, I've heard rumors is that every now and again, like if you were inducted, I don't know what the circumstances were, but ceremoniously every now and again, a kid would get to lay a stone. And that was kind of like a cool thing to do. And they started out with 12, and then they were in their hundreds within their first like 10 years or so of these Knights of the Golden Trail. And the outside was all river rock. In the inside, he would make his own cement, and he would take milk cartons or orange cartons, fill them with cement, and then use that for the inside walls. And sometimes he was trying to clean up the garbage. He was very adamant. He was not happy. You know, one of the reasons he started the Knights of Golden Trail is because he said the decadence of society, of falling down of society. And he was not happy with the local Loveland kids coming there, being hooligans and drinking and littering. And so of his bricks in the building, he would put the litter, the cans or the bottles. This was before recycling, right? This was his form of recycling. He thought, I can save on, I can clean up a little bit and I can save some cement if I put a bottle in there as I'm filling these cartons. So you're going to see remnants in this, and it's really a cool part of it. But they're building.
I think he would be so happy with today's society and with how behaved our youth are and how engaged they are.
We've come a long way, haven't we? I mean, something to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Very be proud of. You're being very sarcastic, aren't you, Brad? Listen, I have faith in the goodness of our youth. I'm a high school teacher, so I know they are good kids. We're going through a change, and we're old. Guess what? Every old person comes this way, right? So he has a couple stories. When they go away, he creates this door, and you can go online. I'm not going to get into the details of this door he creates. He wants it to be like super hard door, so he can't knock it down. But he is mad that hooligans are coming in and sneaking at night. And he said, at first, he would work a bunch of different jobs and didn't live on site. 20, 25 years in, he lived on site. And as these kids were coming in, probably in the late 60s, early 70s, he said they would try to break in. And at one point, he got a shotgun out and sprayed them with what's that, birdshot?
Buckshot, birdshot.
Right. He said he sprayed them. He said, but not too much longer later, they broke in. They did get in. They knocked him unconscious. They broke his leg. Knocked him unconscious, started fires all over the place, and stole a bunch of stuff from him. And this is going to come in. This is where later in the story this is going to come back in. So he kept a gun on him at all times. He was living out there, and you got to understand, Loveland was, like we talked about with Sam the Chimp, right? It was a different place in the 60s, 70s. It was out in the middle, especially where he was, out in the middle of nowhere.
How big is Chateau Larouche?
Okay, so if you know anything, he named it after another Chateau Larouche, which is near where he was stationed during when he was a medic in World War One. It's about 1/5 to 1/4 the size of that one. Does that make sense? No, it's okay. It's
compared to a regular size house.
About twice the size of like a. Let's say you got a 3-bedroom house, right?
Yep.
Probably, I'm trying to put the bedrooms in there, probably about the same size. But the cool thing about it is, maybe a little bit bigger. The cool thing about it is it's got a dungeon. And then it's got, it really is just, it's impressive, Brad. And I'm going to take you when we come. It's right on the river. And we'll digress here for a second. I took my kids there when they were little, but then, you know, as a teacher, my Mondays were my kayaking day. And, you know, sometimes I take friends, sometimes I take the kids, whatever, but it's right along the river on my route. It's funny where I put my kayak in, Brad, is at the Monkey Bar.
Okay.
And then on my trip is, Chateau LaRouche, the Loveland Castle. And so usually, especially if I'm taking somebody new, we'll pull over and go walk up the hill, and I'll take them through the castle. It's impressive. It's big, but not only is the castle impressive, is he made grounds that are gardens with arches and terraces, and the whole place is just like, whoa, okay, this guy. And when you think about this guy laid every stone in every, I guess they call them bricks inside of it. It really is a really cool legacy. So he is building this. He's building it. You know, I know he's working many jobs at first. I don't know if he's kept that going. And we're getting into his later years, and he admits that, you know, I don't think I'm going to finish this during my lifetime, but I've created my knights and they're going to finish this all for me. Well, one of his things was this garbage thing was taken care of, getting rid of the garbage on the grounds, and he was burning the garbage, which he did. I mean, one of the things he said every Tuesday, you know, maybe he kept it like every Tuesday is my burn day, but he had a burn barrel on the roof. And he was burning tires. What I've heard is tires from somebody else, but not from my research. And
because you wouldn't know back then, too.
No, you're just trying to get rid of it, right? That seemed like the right thing to do. Yeah, he just thought he was doing the right thing. And he caught fire. He was 92, I believe. I think he just turned 92.
Wait, he caught fire?
His pants caught fire. He's 92 years old. And here's what happened, though. He could have put him out, stop, drop, roll, but he had a gun in his pants, and the gun was stuck. And he was more preoccupied. Rather than putting it out, he was worried about what was going to happen to the gun. You know, would it go off because he had it in there? And so he's more preoccupied. He's burning. Didn't want to just drop to the ground or whatever because of the gun, because of the vagrants that were coming through. And he succumbed to his injuries, I think, within about 2 weeks. I think it was like 16 days later or so.
Oh, probably got infected.
It's gangrene. That's exactly what they said.
Yep.
Gangrene, and he passed away. I think it was 92. March 31st, 1981. He was 91 years old, and he passed away 16 days later. And now he haunts the property.
What?
Yes.
What is the property used for right now?
Storage. There's a hoarder that lives there. She's she does quilting and she keeps all her.
So it's not a restaurant. It's not.
It's a museum. It's called the Loveland Castle and Museum. So you walk through it. It's the way he wanted it to be for his whole life. So, you know, you walk in, it's run by the knights. So you go in there.
The knights are still around?
Yeah, they're still around. They run it. He willed it to them. So you can still become a knight. But these knights, they're called Sir whatever, and there's different levels. I learned about all that. And then there's a king knight, but they don't call it that. They call it they name him after a Native American because they didn't want to say that there's another king in the United States. There's a whole hierarchy. Women cannot be knights. Women can only be members or something along that order. But again, he's old school.
I like that. I like that old school mentality. Just 'cause it's nice to separate the people.
Separate the people. And things were easier back then. Somebody asked him, why are you so spry at 88? He said, because I never smoked, I never drank, and I never was married.
The big one.
That's the big one, right? But he was proposed to over 50 times because these ladies wanted to live in his castle. What do you call on that? Do you believe that, Brad?
I think if you were a single man, who lived in a castle. You were, you probably met a lot of women.
Who joked around.
Who joked around and would show interest.
It's just, here's my point is, and I'm not trying to get down on anybody, but you know, when you read about this guy, he's looked at as like, I don't want to say cult figure, right? But he is. Yeah. Who's the guy that started Scientology? Hubbard or what's his name?
L. Ron Hubbard.
L. Ron Hubbard, right. Almost this, you know, aura about him. Oh, look, 7 languages and 7 doctorates and was dead and came alive and 50 women wanted to marry him. You know, I just think that is it's cool. Don't get me wrong, but.
Yeah, it just. But again, I think what makes these stories enjoyable to learn about, read about, research, is it really doesn't matter whether or not it's true.
Yep.
It's just interesting to say this guy possibly knew 7 languages. He possibly had 7 doctorates. He died from meningitis and was brought back to life. He built a castle. He started a knight. It's amazing.
Hey, Loveland, it's Emily Barblow, your local publisher of Loveland Lifestyle Magazine. Just wanted to remind you guys that we love covering all of the people, happenings, and things going on in our amazing town of Loveland, Ohio. So make sure to grab your latest copy. We always drop a bunch off in downtown Loveland and surrounding areas. Or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Everything from events to mini press releases, articles. I mean, we have so much happening here. We love covering all of the things happening. So make sure if you're not already following us on social media, you are. And stay tuned for more awesome info from Loveland Lifestyle.
In Loveland City News, the East Loveland Avenue, or O'Banionville Road, will be closed at the bridge just as you head towards the Grail for approximately 6 months. But be sure to know that the Grail is still open, and you can find the alternative route on our webpage at www.weeklypods.com. Looking ahead in Loveland, by popular demand, Love Our Land is having another Tree Buds Walk on Saturday, February 10th at 1 p.m. This time, they will be walking the Kelly Nature Preserve. Please RSVP at www.loveourland.org. And if you have any events that you would like me to mention or show ideas for the podcast, please reach out at mike@lovelandpod.com. We have something truly special here in Loveland. Thank you for listening, and have a great week. With the support of On Brand Studios, this episode was recorded, produced, and engineered by Mike Melton at The Grail, a magical place here locally like no other. Please note that the opinions expressed in the podcast do not necessarily represent the views of our sponsors or organization.